It's so wonderful again for the freedom that we have to come and share your word. We thank you for the liberty you've given us to share this word in this land, Lord, of destiny, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which the rivers divide, whose boundaries and origins you ordained from long ago. As we enter the word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray in particular for fresh unction and anointing, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy, so I will be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said, Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. And in that verse, I spent quite a bit of time there. In our last lesson, it says, you know, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And we said the very, very important that God's word takes priority over your heart. Your heart, you may have a very strong feeling about something. Strong leading, strong anointing, whatever you choose to call it. But the word of God is superior to that. Because you might feel something, and what you feel, however strong it is, you know, it may not be God. And the way you check that it's actually God is that you check the leading of what you're getting in light of the Word of God. The two things: one, the Word of God, it should not contradict anything that, you know, the principles of the Word of God. Not necessarily letter, spirit now. And secondly, you know, it should be in line with God's character of loving kindness, righteousness, and justice. God never acts out of character. He always is always. That's why the Scripture tells us. I must have mentioned it glancingly. You know, I think it's in Isaiah 8. It says, "If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." See, no matter how, and one of the big problems we've had in the Pentecostal circles, you know, and it's caused so much scattering and casualties in the body of Christ. And this has been since the turn of the last century, when the Holy Spirit was given back to the church and people started speaking in tongues. You always hear this: "My spirit told me." Have you heard that before? "My spirit told me. I feel very strongly in my spirit." That may not be God. Because your spirit could have been wrongly programmed with wrong information on one hand. And then secondly, on the second hand, when you say your spirit, you're talking about your inner man, which can include your will and your mind. So it may just be what your mind feels very strongly about. And you pick it up as your spirit. So God has put checks and balances inside the word. And that's why he says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In other words, God, if even God's going to tell you something, he will also confirm it independently to people around you, especially your oversight. God's not going to tell you something, and then he's going to leave your oversight in the dark about it. You know, he will certainly say something to them too, along the same line, and there will be a synchronization, because God is not the author of confusion. So, you know, those are certain general principles, but basically it will not contradict the nature, the character of God, and the Word of God. And that's why the more Bible you know, the easier it is for the Spirit of God to lead you accurately, and the less likely you are to be misled by your spirit. I know where people got some of that stuff from. You know, Kenneth Hagin did a great teaching in the late 70s. I had the whole pack of the tapes, you know, on how to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, and Kenneth Hagin teaches there correctly that your spirit is a safe guide because it has been born again. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. But the same Kenneth Hagin, it is sad. People don't read the whole book. They only take the parts. So you that's where all this came from. Oh, my spirit led me. You know, my spirit told me and all of that. They don't read the rest of the book. But Kenneth Hagin, at the end of the book, he said, for your spirit to be a safe guide, he said, you have to fill your spirit with the Word of God. Then he went, I think, Proverbs chapter 4, that verse 20 on down. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their feet, all their flesh. Then, and only then, he now says, ponder. Ponder the path of thy feet. You see, you don't give me the scripture. Look at, go to verse 22. Aha, then 23. Exactly. Keep thy heart with all diligence. He's talking about attitude. You see, when you do all of those things in the Word of God, it's a sequence of instructions. It's like a computer program. We need to know the person we're dealing with. This God we're serving is a very, 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 very intelligent God. Amen. You can't, you know, keep your heart with all diligence, because for out of it, all these your leadings and everything, that's where it's going to come from. So if you don't keep your heart with all diligence, what you're getting can get, you know, you can get polluted. Verse 24. Put away from you, see, what you're saying can affect what is going on inside your heart, you know. Perversely put far from thee. You know, this also, you know, I'll just take a quick detour here. This also has to do with the company you keep. And the kind of things you're hearing is going to affect what you think your spirit is telling you. But I'm not done yet. Next verse. This is the last. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look straight before thee. 26. Ponder. What does ponder mean? It says Mary pondered these things in her heart. What it means is that you start thinking about what you believe God is saying to you. It says, let all thy ways be established. I think there's another verse after that. Turn not to the right. Exactly. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot, right foot, from evil. Don't go and cherry pick. What we mean by that, talking about that in Brexit recently. What we mean by that is that you can't, it is dishonesty to go and start taking portions of scripture in isolation, you know, in order to fit what you like. You have to take the scripture in its sequence and in its context. That's why that is what is called the spirit of scripture. What is in God's mind when he said all of those things? So your own interpretation, you can take the letter of one or two verses and contradict the spirit of the context. And so what happens with people is many times, you know, they have something in their heart, or somebody said something to them, or they read something somewhere, or they heard somebody's testimony, and so on and so forth. You know, and they get this thing inside their heart of what they want to do. You know, I want to do this, or God is, they believe God's telling them. Well, no problem. Now let's hear the scriptures God gave you. Give us the scripture, you know. God will never tell you anything without a confirmation, a witness from the scripture. There will be some, it may not be a chapter and verse, but there will be a thought pattern that will have the scripture as a foundation. That thought pattern must not contradict the character of God and any other part of the Word of God. So you can go and take something from one place, but if it's contrary to something else somewhere, it's not God. Because the wisdom from above is first of all pure. That's what the scripture says. He says it is pure. He says the word of God is tried 7 times, refined like fire. Then it's peaceable. Then it is gentle. Then it is easy to be. This one that, I feel so strong. I can't do it. I must do it. Easy to be entreated. Full of what? Mercy. And what? Good fruits. You know, what James did there was he gave a blanket thing. The Holy Spirit through James. You know, what was good fruits? All of them. Mercy. You know, God will not do something that will be. He's not the author of confusion. You know, and so if you take heed to that counsel, then God is greater than your heart. So even if your heart is telling you to do something, or you think your heart is telling you to do something, you know, and then you take it to oversight, you take it to others who are more spiritual than you are, and they can examine it in the light of Scripture, you know, and find out if it is in harmony or not, then you know you're on the right track. If you don't even want to tell anybody, you're already on the wrong track. Because the Spirit of God is one. This, if you're afraid that somebody else, of course, I mean, if they have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, there will be a synchronization. It's one of the very good ways of checking, and this is particularly true in very major areas of life, things like life partner, career, relocation, things that can affect your destiny. These are things you don't want to play around with, you know, and go and start saying, "My Spirit told me, my Spirit told me." You know, and I just remember my own experience. I just, you know, when I was in England and all that, of course, my parents were not Christians, so I couldn't go to them. You know, my pastor was a good man, and he didn't fully understand what I was saying, and he was thinking naturally. He said, "Look, you need to do your studies, and this will help you." And I said, "I appreciate that, sir, but this is what I feel, you know, and I've been praying about it." Of course, I had all my scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, you know, and all the things. I even wrote an article then, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's on. I wrote it in 1980. It's still relevant. And I wrote it then, you know, God put it all down, you know. And you know what God did? God sent his prophet from Scotland. Scotland. Guy I'd never met before in my life. Dennis Beattie. And my pastor was a very nice man. So they, you know, I was going to go to Nigeria, I think the next week or something. So he asked all of them to come, the elders in the church, because I'd been a blessing to them in that church. And my pastor trusted, he knew I was not a flighty kind of person. So he got the elders to come and lay hands on me, you know, and pray for me as I was going back to Nigeria to go back, to go and fulfill the ministry that God had given me. That day, and it was in the evening, you know, it was an evening, Sunday evening service. There weren't many people in church, maybe 10, 15, 20. And it was a small church. The whole of that, our church, was just this section of our own church here. The whole church. That small assembly of God. But the thing God did in that church, there is no major man of God in the 20th century that didn't go to that church, that didn't minister in that church. From Smith Wigglesworth to Paul Yonggi Cho to Kenneth Hagin, you know, because Pastor Porter was the Secretary General of the Assemblies of God of the whole of UK. So anytime they had speakers from abroad that came, he was always involved in all the planning and the coordination and the you know, hospitality and all that. So he used to have first-hand contact with them. So he would ask them to come to his church, and they would come. You know, anyway, that's by the side. So these guys, you know, so this guy comes from, you know, Scotland, you know, strong Scottish accent, you know. He's not a part of our eldership. He doesn't normally come to our church. He just came in from Scotland. He was sitting at the back of the church. When they started praying, we became friends later on. You know, his name is Dennis. He now walked from the back and joined the elders to lay hands on me. And as they began to, he just began to prophesy. I still have the prophecy. It's inside one of my diaries. I'm sure somewhere in the church office. You know, my son, I've called the confirmation. I went to Nigeria with boldness. Because independent, the same Holy Ghost. So your heart is not bigger than the Word of God. So if you, no matter how strong it is, don't forget, Satan can put things inside your heart. And he will make it strong. In fact, you won't sleep. You won't have peace. But Bible says God is greater than your heart. So always let the counsel of God's word prevail over what is inside your heart. If what is inside your heart cannot be confirmed by the letter and the spirit of God's word. You know, and to do that, you usually need people who are more spiritual than you. And then they can show you. You know, you say the Bible told you, and they'll say, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but they will not bring another scripture and say, you're not looking at it in this context. And if you're a humble, honest person, you'll submit to it, and God will help you. I remember the story of David and Saul. How many people know that God spoke to David that he was going to be king? Confirmed it through Samuel. You know. And Saul wanted to kill him. You know, and they were going through the forest and all of that. Three times. Saul fell into David's hand. And the easiest thing on earth would have been for him to kill Saul and become king. David said something that all Christians should go and take, put inside the bank. He said, be it far from me to do anything to hurt the Lord's anointed. He said, his day to die will come, or he will fall in battle. He said, but it will not be my hand. In other words, if it is God who has spoken, he will work this thing out in line with his character. He will work it out. You know, if I have to manipulate my way to get to the throne, I'm not going to do it. If God is the one who really wants me to do it, he will work it. And you know what? God did. Didn't he? He did. The same thing with Boaz. When Ruth came to him and said, be a, you know, near king's man. He said, He said, I know you're a virtuous woman and I want to do it. He said, but there's a king's man nearer than I. Never contradict the Bible. He said, there is a king's man nearer than I. He said, if he can do it, let him do it. But if not, I will do it. I'm sure Boaz in his heart, he really wanted Ruth. And he really wanted, but he was not going to jump the word of God. He let God. And what happened? The king's man came. He asked him. The man said, yes, first. Then he said, but if you do it, you have to marry. He said, I will marry. He said, you do it. Decently and in order. If it is truly God, you will not be afraid to ask the kinsman to check, because the possibility was to lose Ruth. Where did we get all of that from? God is greater than your heart. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely. But where does wisdom come? The word of God. So how do you walk wisely? By considering the whole counsel of God. Not the little bits and pieces that you like that will fit in with your own personal ambition and plan. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay. So today, we also looked at the fact that, you know, you lay down your life by prayer. You know, you lay down your life for the brethren by prayer. You know, you give up. I've been making fun of all my people in Good Morning Jesus. You know, I say, everybody's so sober now. I say, this thing is wonderful. You know, I say, television has gone. Not that we don't watch it, but you know, there's no time anymore. I have to go to bed early. I've got to get up at 4 o'clock. I say, hey, welcome to the club. I've been doing that for 20-something years. Now you guys are appreciating, you know, you give up three major things. apart from other things, you're going to give up time, you're going to give up sleep, you're going to give up food. Those three things, you know, cause a dying to the flesh. It says, you know, we which live our, you know, it says, we which live in you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it talks about, you know, we are always, well, that's the second part of it. The first part of it says, you know, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. It is dying. It's done. There's no shortcut. There is no, brethren, let nobody fool you. There is no shortcut. You want life of God in your manifest, in your mortal body, you have to first of all die. Yes, dying to live. You first of all die by the Spirit. Then you now live by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? And so, you know, that's what it means when you say lay down your life for the brethren. You give the time others are using for pleasures and things. Not wrong things, though. They're not easily sin. But they're things that, you know, you just can't afford it because you want to spend time. And then you now give life through prayer and intercession. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the life you have sacrificed, time, sleep, you know, food, to be able to get, you now give it freely to other people. He says, life walketh in them, but death in you. Aha! Now you're being conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give his life for others. You know, it says that I might be conformed to his death in Philippians chapter 3. So that's exactly what you're doing, you know, and you're giving life for others. So there's that aspect, says, you know, lay down his life for the brethren. And the other aspect, which I also mentioned, is very important, is the practical aspect. You know, whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up, and you can shut it as an act of your will. His bowels of compassion, and how dwelleth the love of God in him? Say, let us not love in word, but let's love in deed and in truth. So love has two aspects. There's the spiritual aspect of laying down your life. Then there's the physical aspect, and they go hand in hand. And there's the physical aspect of giving material things. But watch this. The first one is the foundation. And then the second one. Because a person can give without loving. But he cannot love without giving. It's a great statement. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, before, says, though I give my body to be burned and sell all my goods to the poor, a person can do that and not lay down his life. Many do. And they think it's a substitute. They're going to be in for a rude shock. Because you're going to go to heaven to the guy who sees the hearts and the reins. And he can tell the motivation why you did what you did. We teach this in Foundations of Faith classes. You're rewarded by motive, by method, and by means. Your motive must be pure. Your method must be in line with the Word of God. And your means by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even if you do the right thing, in quotes, and the motive is wrong, and the method is wrong, and it's not by the power of the Holy Spirit, the reward for it is going to be, you know, should we say, diminished, if not cancelled completely. You know, God is fair. God is a very good God. You understand? People are at different levels of spiritual growth, you know. So God will still, everybody gets some reward anyway. Some, you know, but you probably won't get as much as you should get. If, you know, or let's say it this way, the better your motive, the better your method, the better your means, the greater your reward. The less your reward. And if it's zero, at one point, it goes to zero. The Bible says, I suffer loss. To not be your portion in Jesus' name. Okay. So, let's go to, today's work is in 1 John, is chapter 3, and we're looking from verse 22 to 24. Those three verses, and we'll close for today. He says, and whatsoever we ask of him. Now, again, it's very important. Keep the context. Let your mind keep the flow of the Spirit. Amen. What he's been talking about, you know, laying down your life for the brethren, walking in love, giving to the people who have need. Hello. not allowing your heart to condemn you. God is being greater than your heart. All of that is in should be in the back of your mind as you go into these scriptures. Am I talking to anybody here? And so he says, and whatsoever, look at the word and there. You know, he's a conjunction from what he's been talking about. And you see, in the light of all these things, if you're laying down your life for the brethren, if you're giving of your material things as God directs you, you know, you're praying, you know, you're laying down your life, you're praying, you're doing all of those things, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because he's now rehashing what he has said before in a more compact form. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. If you see your brother have need and you open your bowels of compassion and give to him, it's pleasing in God's sight. He's saying the same thing, but he's just making it in a very compact form. And so that there will be no confusion. And there is no wriggle room for human interpretation. The next verse says, and this is his commandment. I like the Bible. So he tied it up. So it doesn't give room for people, you know. God knows the carnal mind, and he's in enmity against God. That's why you can't trust your mind. It's in enmity against God. And his Bible says it is deceitful above all things and is desperately. Why? Because the sin nature is still inside. That's why you have to renew it. There's that beautiful scripture. Mommy has been quoting it in recent times. It's why when they say, good morning, Jesus, the superfluity of naughtiness. Yeah. It's inside of all of our souls. That superfluity means excess naughtiness. It's there. You got to get rid of it. And you do, and the way you get rid of it is by using the word of God, you know, praying the spirit, travail, to push all that junk out. And then program your mind with the rightly divided word of God. And debunk the wrongly divided one. I was given the illustration the other day that when we first became Christians, you know, there was this group of Christians. Many of them have changed now, and I thank God for that. You know, so, you know, I'm just talking for historical purposes and for learning purposes. What I'm saying, you know, oh, if you wear perfume or you wear a nice dress, you know, you're worldly, you know, and you know, you're going to hell. It's really as simple as that. Yeah. And the scriptures they quoted, well, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And because you're not wearing a particular kind of dress, you're not holy, so you're not going to see the Lord. If you wear a certain kind of hairdo, you're not going to see the Lord, because it's not holiness. If you wear jewelry, I'm looking at some people. I'm only joking, you know. And it's not holiness, you know. They go and take 1 Peter chapter 3 and twist it out of context. It's not saying they shouldn't wear gold. If you're saying they shouldn't wear gold, saying they shouldn't wear clothes. Come on, don't be silly. Hello. So they're putting on of apparel. And the wearing of gold. So if you're going to remove the wearing of gold, you have to take away the putting of apparel. Shemo, dishonesty is a terrible thing. You have to take the scripture in its context. He's saying excess attention to outer man will affect the inner man. That's his summary. That's what I'm saying. That's what the scripture is saying. You know, he's not saying that, you know. So you wear gold, the holiness, you're not going to see the Lord, you know. And that thing used to bother us, because that's what we're being told. That's what is in your spirit. So when you want to wear gold, your spirit will tell you. Your spirit will tell you, the devil's box. Yeah, we couldn't watch television because the devil's box. You're watching television and Jesus comes. Ha. People will be crying, weeping, because the guy took a peek in the devil's box. All that has changed, thank God. Most of it, at least, over 90% of it has changed. You know, thank God for Kenneth Hagin. Gosh, if those teachings did not come to Nigeria, they would still be running us around in circles. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book called The Woman Question. Then I went to America, I personally, you know, I went to Camp Pity. I saw Gloria Copeland. I saw Ken Higgins' wife. Beautiful women. I saw Jean Wilkerson. was an elderly woman. I'm sure she's probably dead now. She's probably gone home to be with the Lord. She was older than Kenneth Hagin then. This is in the 1980s, you know. She had this lovely white hair. No scarf. Fa. Ah. Wait, who? Jim Wilkinson, who? Elderly woman, about 80-something years old then. You know, lovely white hair, beautiful gold on her neck. And then she brought the word of the Lord. It was Jim Wilkinson who brought this prophecy about the Soviet Union, that the evil empire, that one leader after the other will die, and that the Soviet Union will be conquered without a shot. I heard that prophecy. But she wasn't wearing gold. She was wearing gold, sorry. And her hair was not covered. So I said, they're telling us a lie. They're telling us a lie. Are these women, these godly, praying, these are strong intercessors, godly praying women, not of God, because they use lipstick, because they wear gold, because, you know, they don't cover their hair. I said, there's something wrong with our teaching. And, you know, that's why when we say scripture pasture, I just told people, forget all that. I'm interested in the inner man, not in the outer man. If you want to wear a hat, wear it. If you don't want to wear a hat, your hair is covering. End of story. Praise the Lord. Amen. But be decent and in order. Don't dress like a harlot. Amen. See, that's also in the Bible. That's why you need the whole counsel of God. You can't just go and take one scripture. So all of those things, you know, cause a lot of people to, you know, some people backslid, some people were offended, you know, others were in bondage, you know, and when they try and look nice, their heart convicts them. It's not because it's the word of God. The God is greater than that heart. That heart has been wrongly programmed with the wrongly divided word of God. But because it comes from the Bible, the person thinks it's God's word. That's why we have to have our mind renewed. We have to have revelation knowledge. So, going back to the scripture here, it says, and this, so that there's no wriggle room for all these people come and tell us what is not God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, one, or you can say A, and love one another as he gave us commandment B. That is not as easy as that, though. You have to go deep. It's pregnant. Let's break it down. This is commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Stop. These people already believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. He's not talking to sinners. Hello? You know? Again, don't forget what you've read, my brethren. That's how we started this thing. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us and our fellowship. My little children. These are not sinners. These are children of God. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. He's not talking to sinners. So he's not talking to people who don't believe on the name of Jesus Christ. They already believe on the name of Jesus Christ, or else they would not be my children. So it cannot mean that he's saying we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. He's talking about believing on the name of Jesus Christ to receive Zoe. It takes, see this little analysis I just did. It takes honesty of heart to do that. Because I cannot go and take that one scripture and then twist it, handling the word of God deceitfully, and then ignore all the other scriptures. For me to get the correct interpretation, I have to interpret it in the context of what he said and in the light of all the other scripture. Is this clear? I'm reminded, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the same thing, the way I'm teaching you now, to the glory of God, and by his grace and mercy, is exactly the same way Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was teaching. You know, that's why he asked them a question. He said, whose son is David? He said,
He said, if David in spirit, quoting Psalm 110, Adonai, Jehovah said to Adonai, the Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit at my right hand. He said, if David in spirit called him Lord, how then is he David's son? He was thinking in the scripture. He was getting the spirit. Yes, he's David's son, genealogically. You know, as far as, you know, Christ is David's son. How does he describe that Christ is David's son? And yes, I know he's David's son, you know, as far as the genealogy is concerned. But he's more than David's son. He's David's Lord. And I am him. Now, that's a little bit translation. You know, he didn't say everything with his mouth. But he explained it. He said, how then? But the scripture says, the Lord said to my Lord, if David calls him Lord, how then is he his son? That's the same kind of thing I've just done for you now. If the Bible says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to people who already believe on the name of Jesus Christ, then he's not talking about the same thing. He's talking about using the name of Jesus Christ to draw life. That's where we got in Jesus' name, we have life. That's where I got it from. It's not Olubi's doctrine. It's pure scripture. In Jesus' name, we have life. John 20:31. It says, you know, believing that you might have life through his name. So you continue to receive life. It is when you understand that A, you can understand the B. And then love one another as he gave us. He qualified it all. He didn't just say love one another. He could have just said and love one another, full stop. He didn't stop there. He put and love one another as he gave us commandment. You have to go back and find out how he gave us the commandment to love one another. This is not the Old Testament commandment of love. It's the New Testament one. So you have to go back to John chapter 13. Where Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. The Old Testament commandment was love one another as you love yourself. This New Testament one is a higher commandment than the Old Testament one. And that is why it has an A. The A part is to get the divine nature. It is with the divine life, Zoe, you can now love as Jesus loves. Is it clear? But you know, all of that takes honesty of heart. You can read, you can just skim through that scripture in 2 minutes. And command just to love. It is to love, but with conditions. It's not just ordinary love. It's not human love. It's not just, you know, a man trying to just, you know, just be as nice as he can to somebody. It's much deeper than that. It's a divine love that can only be wrought by a divine nature. One of the greatest revelations God has given me, I've said this many times, is in the last few years, and it's part of this, I'll be talking about that in my main message later on, because of this season we're in, the season of atonement into the season of tabernacles and all of that. And God began to give, you know, deeper revelation to the church. We had a revelation of love before, you know, you know, on two levels. You know, the first one I will talk about is, you know, it takes, and I got this from the Word of God. And I've not heard any other person say it like I'm saying it. I'm sure people say it too. They may just use different words to say it. Because I'm not the only one. And I don't have a monopoly on the wisdom of God. You know, and God is revealing his word to all his church. But to the glory of God, and by his mercy and grace, he gave this to me. You know, it takes wisdom, compassion, and power to walk in love. And the most important part of it is wisdom. Because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. That's why you can never perfect the love of God if you don't have the Word of God. Because the wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. Without the wisdom of God, you will be doing things by human feeling, human emotion. You know, you will. It's the wisdom of God that can direct the compassion. And then the power now backs the power, the compassion that wisdom has directed. That's why you find Jesus had compassion on them. You hear? The woman, let me give an example. And this is going to shock you, what I'm about to say. But those of you who maybe don't know scriptures as much as you could do and should do. You know, you see the Lord Jesus Christ going to Nain, and this widow and her son is dead. They're carrying him in his coffin. They're taking him to the
to the burial ground. You know, Jesus always had a crowd of people around him, you know, 12, the 70, and all these guys. You know, and they see this procession. Jesus could have minded his own business. Easy. He would just take another place. Do you understand? The Bible says Jesus had compassion on her. It was God who instructed him. It was the wisdom of God. You know what Jesus did? He stopped an entire funeral procession. You can imagine, you know, think of it today. You know, they're inside the car and the convoy, and then the man was like, stop! What audacity! Stop! In those days, they didn't have cars like we do, but they would carry it, you know. And you can imagine, oh, we're crying. You know, the Bible says, Jesus stopped it, and he put his hand on the bed and said, stop. Put it down. I'm waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The spirit without measure. Say, put it down. Open it. And you benefit as salon. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead, watch this, and he delivered him to his mother. And he continued on his journey. Jesus, just one of those things we do every day. No big deal. You know, he delivered him to his mommy. Make sure you look after her. Make sure you look after your mommy. God bless you. And off. I'm busy. I got other things to do. We're not going to have a pity. We're not going to have a camp meeting on that and take up an offering. And but I'm going to shock you now. Jesus goes to the temple, the pool of Bethsaida is full of a great, go and read it, a great multitude of sick and impotent folk. No, Jesus was led by compassion. No, Jesus was moved with compassion. No virtue went out of him and healed them all. He goes to only one man. This is the wisdom. This is love. As directed by wisdom. He doesn't go to the crowd. He doesn't have compassion on all of them. Didn't Jesus love them? There was no instruction at that time for those people. I just got another tweet. Do you understand? They could come to all the crusades. Jesus constantly was healing people. Where if they didn't get it there, if they really wanted it, they will find out. That guy was unable. The Bible says he had been there for 38 years and there was nobody to help him. I just got another tweet. I'm getting them, you know, it's just coming like that. Remember the guy with the palsy? He had four friends that kept him. All of our guys had people who could help them. This guy had nobody who could help him. So he was sent to that one. The others had people who could help them. And if they helped them and they came to the crusade or wherever Jesus was preaching, they would have got their healing. You don't do things by human. This is true love. This is true love. That's why. And this is his command. That we should love one another. Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Why? To get life. But what does life give? It gives light. What is light? Wisdom. Without the life of God, I won't have light. Then I will not have the wisdom of God of how to operate. To walk in love. Another aspect, you know, which is, love is such a big topic. You know, the Bible says, these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's one of the great revelations, as far as I'm concerned, that God has given me. You know, hope is what love desires. Hope desires what love wants to give. Faith creates it, then love gives it. You know why love is the greatest? Both faith and hope come out of love. So when he's telling us here, I got to close. When he said us here to love one another as he loved us, we have to do it the way he did it. Not human love. Divine love. With divine wisdom. Followed by divine compassion. Followed by divine power. That's why I need the Zoe. That's why I need to believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ first. Before I can love as he gave us commandment. And in John chapter 13. He takes off his clothes. When he says clothes, it doesn't mean he's stripped. It means he took off his outer coat. I'm a silly. And he, he girds himself. He just has his these things on. So that the water and all the dirt will not go on the fine. Jesus wore nice clothes. I don't know if you know. So he put those ones aside. So he had his, just his chest. He girded himself. Then he took water and some cloth and a towel, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. They don't understand what the man is doing. So Peter, thank God for Peter. Baba Peter. Baba Holiness. Lord! Hey, Miguel. Oh, no, Maje. You wash my feet. You, my Lord, what are you wrong? You are not going to wash my feet. Ewo. In our language, that means an abomination. God forbid. So, Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. And you know something? Peter had studied Jesus enough to know he doesn't talk carelessly. He meant every word. So, quickly, he changed. They're not only my everything. Anyway, Jesus washes all of them. 12 of them. I don't know if there were other guys there, but at least we know the 12 were there. And when he finished, the Bible says he put his clothes back on. It's good to study Jesus. Don't just read that Bible. That's why, thank God for this daily Bible reading. Read it slowly and meditatively. That's why we just have a few verses every day. Read it and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. So he puts his clothes back on. He says, you call me Lord and Master. He said, and so am I. And you say, right. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then make sure you wash one another's feet. That's what he's talking about here. Love one another as, it means forgive, ask life for, and pray for them in the spirit, so that they can overcome the mistake. Feet are symbolic. It wasn't the sand. Come on. Feet are symbolic of your walk. As you walk with God, your feet get dirty. So what God is saying is that keep cleaning the feet of your brethren and never get tired. So he compliments that by teaching them early on. He says 70 times 7 times. How many know that washing of feet takes effort? And after you've done about 3 or 4 times, you're tired. How many want to tell the truth here? Pastor, I've washed feet. Wash. Could there change? I have a very simple question. Should you say 70 times 7 times? In one day. Thank you, Pastor. Have you done it 7 times in one day? No. Keep doing it. I didn't write the Bible. He said it deliberately. You do it as often as many times as is necessary, and you don't get tired of doing it. But the only person who can do that is someone that has the nature of God in him. The natural man will get tired after 3 or 4 times. Tired. Have you heard this? I'm only human. Even God knows I've tried. By human standards. But by the dying standard, you haven't even started. I'm going to close. That is why love bears up under anything and everything that comes. See, it's going to take that divine
wisdom, that divine compassion, and that divine power that comes from the divine life to love as he loved. Amen. Bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever, you know, I washed feet. I've just washed his feet 20 times, but I'm ever ready to believe the best. That when I wash the 22nd time, 23rd time, I'll start seeing a change. Ever ready to believe the best of every person? Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. It cannot be done without divine life. That's why it's believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ to receive the divine life, and then love one another as, not by your standard, he gave us commandment. Let us pray. Is it clear? This is it. So you don't give up. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. The only person that gives up is the recipient who refuses to continue to receive. Do you notice that it was not Jesus that rejected Judas? If Judas had come back, he would have forgiven him. Just like he forgave Peter. Judas committed suicide. Don't trust your heart. His heart convicted him, but God was greater than his heart. Had he come to God, God would have told him it's all right. What you did is very, very bad. But you lose your reward. Maybe you will lose your seat. You know, God is such a good God. You know, when I read, that's why you need to read the whole book. To the glory of God, I've read the Bible many, many times. And I'm still reading it. I'm never tired of reading it. Because it's like an onion. Revelation is continuous and progressive. But I tell you this. You know, when I read of what God did with people like Manasseh. How many people know Manasseh? You know, Michael Jackson talk about bad, but it's bad. This boy is bad. You know, God forgive Manasseh. Oh, yeah. He restored him to his throne. Manasseh, his record, bad record is there. And he's going to, you know, pay the price for all of that. In the sense of, he's going to take away from his reward. But do you know the Bible says, and Manasseh repented. And the Lord. If you are God. Manasseh is a dead man. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God you are not God. Then say, thank God I'm not God. Or both of us will be dead by now. That's why God wants us to become like him. Only God's kind of love has that kind of patience. That kind of forbearance. You know why? You know what dictated that forbearance? Wisdom. God could see. Manasseh was a very bad boy. But there was still something good in his heart. You couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. Only God could see it. Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible guy. But there was something good in his heart. You couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. But God can see it. I got a tweet for you. If you put the life of God inside your heart, and that light will help you start seeing what God sees. Then you start treating Nebuchadnezzar's like God treats them. And you start treating Manasseh's like God treats them. And on the other hand, you start treating Belteshazzar's like God treats them. Because God could see. Only God sees the heart. But if you put light inside your mind, God will help you to start seeing their hearts. Then you will help people other people will not help. And then you will not help some people other people will help. Because you're being dictated by the wisdom of God, not by the emotions of men. Stand to your feet. Neko shele proto frenes. Neakatu frenes. Ever let it be.
that I will praise you. Ever let it be that I would please you. Ever let it be that I would turn away.
Start again from the beginning. Ever let it be.
Ever let it be that I will pray.
Ever let it be.
Ever let it be that I would please you.
Never
let it be that I would turn away.
Sing it. It's a great prayer.
That I would love
never
you.
Let to be.
Never let there be.
one hand on your head, your forehead. That's where your soul is. And then the other hand to God. It is true, the love of God comes from your spirit, but it operates through your soul. That's what people don't understand. It's in your spirit. It's been shed abroad in your spirit, but it's going to operate through your soul. That's how your mind will know it, and your will will accept it, and your emotions will be affected by the compassion. And then you now go into the action, and then you now do what God will do. So your soul is a very important aspect of this walk in love. The reason why many Christians don't walk in love is that the love that is in their spirit does not find any expression through the soul. The soul acts as a blockade. So even though they are born again and they have the Holy Spirit and love God has been shed abroad in their hearts, in their spirit, it does not come out through the soul, so they don't walk in love. Now raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that you have commanded us. It is not a suggestion. It is a commandment to walk in love by divine life, by believing in the name of Jesus, to receive divine life that will give me divine light and wisdom, that will give me divine compassion, that will give me divine power, so I can then love men as you love them. Treat them as you treat them, so that my thoughts, my feelings, my circumstances, my decisions, my words, and my actions will be like your own in the same situation. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to walk in love. Help me to continually and increasingly use your blood, your word, and the power of your Holy Spirit to perfect my conduct in walking in love. So as I meet men, I will treat them exactly like you would. I will treat them just like you would in every situation. Like Jesus healed the one man in the multitude of sick people, and the same Jesus healed a multitude, virtue going out of him. In every situation, by your wisdom and your compassion, I will know what to do, and I will do it to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name. Lombre di que tu fredes. Zelea, jiki tu frenengaro. Tolo moshalanga tu fres. Zelebri ki tu fredes. Lombre ke klomatolo. Jiki tu fre ke klomatolo. Lombre ke klomatolo, lombre ke klomatu fre tu fre shingaro. Tolo matolo 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 mas tu fres. Lombre ke klomatolo mak. Tolo matu fre tu fre shingaros. Dok lamara, lombre ke klomatolo mas tengo. Tolo matu fre tu fre shingaro. Lombre tu fre de fre. Non gar tolo matu fre. Tolo mas shingaro, tolo mas shakara. Nik tu fre des. Tolo mas shili, na fre ne. Sufre deles, tu fre de ngaras. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I have said this in times past, and I'm going to reiterate it as I go to sit down. The primary reason, I did not say the only, the primary reason why God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, given us the earnest of the Spirit to with the ability of speaking in tongues, is to use that speaking in tongues to release the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, and the power of God to walk in love. Most Pentecostals do not associate tongues with love. They think tongues is for, you know, tongues and interpretation, giving prophecy, and word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and getting miracles. Which it is, you know, God does use it. But I said primarily, the reason why God gave us tongues was so that we can bypass the limitations of the natural human mind and overcome it, the natural human mind, the natural human feelings and emotions, so we have access to the supernatural wisdom of God, the supernatural compassion of God, and the supernatural power of God, so we can walk in love like God loves. If you use love primarily for walking in love, you will find that your tongues will work for all the other things. The reason why I have so many people who are speaking in tongues until they're blue in their face, and you know, the Bible says they're all making, he said, if I speak in tongues of men, he said, if I don't have love, this doesn't profit. Then in the book of Jude, he said, keeping yourself in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the reason. The Holy Ghost was given, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, he's in your heart. Now, how do you release him from your heart so that he can help you to walk in love? By praying in tongues. It's a connection that the majority of the Pentecostal church down through the years have not made. They always think tongues in terms of, that's why all things we're teaching about, you know, the put on the armor of love, you know, where you make the confession, you clean with the blood, you make the confession, then you pray in tongues. What's the tongues for? To release. And the wisdom of today is not the wisdom of yesterday. The basic prayer is the same. I love God with all my heart. I choose to fear God. I humble myself. That's the same. But the tongue detail is different. The detail I need for today is not the one I will need for tomorrow. Because the circumstances of today are not the circumstances of yesterday. Are you listening to me? Take it very seriously. Use it. It's a great tool. Without it, you cannot perfect the love of God. It's not possible. You cannot perfect the love of God by human emotion. You won't have the wisdom. You won't have the compassion. You will get tired. Just a question of time. After that, you say, you give up. You will sue me. Have you heard that before? But you sue me. I'm tired. That's the Bible who says, patience, you know, endures long and is patient. And God says, but you sue me. Completely contrary to what the Bible says. If you're walking in love and you have the patience of God, supernatural peace of Kuli ever swear. As you will never get tired. Now, the recipient can walk away. That, you see, that's the thing about God. It's never God who, it's a man who makes up his mind what he wants to do. Then he can, you know. But God, on his own side, he keep working on the person until the person says, oh, I don't want anymore. Or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And God, because again, his love, he will not force his will on you. It's your decision. Like somebody said when he was preaching one time, and I like it, you know, though I don't like it in the sense that I don't want that to happen to anybody. God will guard your decision to go to hell. It's your decision. If you say, I want to go to hell, God will look after that decision. I want to go to heaven, God will look after that decision. It's your decision. God will not impose his own decision on you. You make up your own mind what you want to do. Then God's mercy and grace will either back it, you know, for the good. And if you've made the wrong decision in the wrong place, you know, then, you know, you live with the consequence of it for eternity. Learn, continue to learn to use the power of the Holy, the wisdom of God, the Word, the blood to clean from sin, the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in love. Keep perfecting the love of God in your life. Because what you get that right, you get right everywhere. You miss it there, you miss it everywhere. God bless you. Oh.